So I want to just go back a few things and say something in some of the interesting shalas that's always asked. So it says in the Rav, Siv Zayin, if you see a roya as chavere tveya bayam, see your friend Achmonis son drowning, or you see goyim, you have to do everything in the world to save them. So the question is, you know a person who needs a major surgery, and you know doesn't have insurance. Or I hate to say it, I see what's happening to Obamacare. I'm not a politician, but unfortunately, I see how much it affected my own. And this doesn't have insurance, so he needs an operation. Something's dangerous. Are you obligated to give all your money away that he should have the operation to save his life? I'm obligated to save a person's life. But saving his life, I would have to give every money penny away. It's not your obligation, it's community obligation. When we're talking about the lab, you're the one who's standing there who could save him from the river, you're the one who could stop the damage. But something, let's say someone is sick, the obligation of the community to help the poor person who cannot afford to save his life. I'm not going into the famous question is to do abnormal things, which doesn't prolong life. It just, you know, instead of dying in 6 weeks, they're going to die in 20 weeks. You know, we often use expensive things as what people. But talking about really saving a person's life, it's an operation. So that's
in a community like ours. Who's the community?
Well, we have an obligation to point someone to raise the money. We do have, there's a din that the community has to hire Gabbat Tzedukah, you know, to make sure, like Tom Chashavas. That's a great thing. But it's not enough Tom Chashavas. There are many people who suffer and who can't pay not just the food, some of them can't pay the rent. That's one thing. Then there's another interesting thing. I began to speak about it. This Rabbi David, I forgot his name, who sits here, started asking me. You know, the Moshe has a tshuva about this, Moshe Feinstein, and other achrayim. What happens, a guy who wants to commit suicide, do I have to stop him or not? Believe it or not, some achrayim says, he wanted to commit suicide, he's a Rasha, let him do it. Most achrayim say, you have to save his life, you have to try to stop him. Truth is, most people who want to commit suicide are not well. There are some more rare that people commit suicide. So I know a story, someone told me, a guy who got cancer with Talmud Chochom. He says, what? I got cancer, I'm going to suffer. He took a gun and shot himself in the head. He was not depressed. He says, I'm not interested in living this way. I once was on the plane, and a lady told me her father got cancer. He wasn't so old. Then, I thought then he was very old, but he was something in the 60s. He was a professor, and he refused. He says he really wanted to poison himself to create the currency not to them, but he refused to take any chemotherapy. The doctor said, you prolong his life for a few years. He was not interested. So my father was not depressed. He was very not religious, and says, what's the worth living in pain? So, according to this, most people who do get sick, who want to commit suicide, are not well, so you have to say. But I'm talking about a person who's well and clear, conscientious, says, I don't want to live. That's a machlokes, if you should save his life.
Are you saying that refusing to accept chemotherapy is that like committing suicide?
It depends. There's certain things you could heal, yes. There's certain cancer, if you don't take it, you'll die, and if you do, what?
A
person has to heal himself. He has to live. There are certain cancers that could be saved if you take care. It's clear. We know as every year goes by, people get healed from cancer a long time. They live much longer. So a guy says, if a guy cannot be healed of some of these cancers, it's just the question is, you're going to be 6 months miserable or 8 months without misery and die at the end. You know, I'm not talking about that type of cancer. No, cancer that if you operate yourself and get yourself chemotherapy, which is horrible, you could get totally cured. I've met people like that. I've seen people that way. I'm not an expert in the illness. I know a guy, a doctor in my community, many years ago, 25 years ago, and he said to me then, his chances of survival was only 20%. And, you know, he's actually almost said goodbye to everyone. He was very realistic. And he survived it 25 years later. And those days, there was not good medication with the side effects. That I do remember. Anyway, so this is a machlokes. That's very interesting machlokes. If a guy wants to commit suicide, you have to stop him. I'm talking about a healthy guy. Because you hear stories where people try to commit suicide and they were so grateful that someone stopped them. You know what I mean? I've heard about stories like these. I'm talking about not that way. Okay? That's an interesting shalom.
So, let's say someone's going to lose an arm, let's say. Is the community responsible for helping him keep his arm?
Yeah. That's a measure of weight. But that's a very good question. He's asking a very good question. Let's say he's not going to die, but it's going to cost us an enormous amount of money to save his arm. That's a very, very good question, because let me put the question the other way around. Are you obligated to donate a kidney to save someone's life? But this is a frightening question, you know. People have asked me. You know,
why
sure.
It could be you. It could be anybody.
Yeah, but you were asked. Everyone, you know the story. You know the story in Chelem. You know that. When I was a child, the Rebbe said there was a city called Chelem. They made a Purim party together, and they said that everyone should bring a jug of wine, put it into a big center room of the, how's it called, the center jug, and we'll have enough wine. So Reuven thought, you know, there's going to be so much wine. My bottle, I just put water in. That was going to make a difference. So did the Rif Shimon, so the whole, they started drinking. They started drinking water. If everyone says, why me? No one. But the question is there an obligation to give up a kidney to save? A person could live healthy with one kidney. That's Mishon. Nothing. So Moshe has a famous tshuva, and he talks about it being said, advised, you're not obligated to give away even to save a person's life. And he has an advice. He tries to explain why, cutting away your body. He has the whole interesting. But he's asking, what's your first name again? He's asking the other way around. A guy is Rahman al-Slam to operate to save his hand will cost $1 million. Otherwise, there are people you see today walking around with prosthetic, it's called, whatever. And, I mean, I'm sure it's not a good life, but it's not in danger. They're not in danger because they're missing an arm. Are you obligated, the community? You can. It is tzedakah, for no question, to save a person's arm, just like any saving, but you cannot bankrupt the community for that. You want to ask something? Yes, but pidyon is not dangerous. She's asking pidyon shvuam. Pidyon shvuam, taking a person out of jail, certain jails nowadays, is really saving a person's life. I like always to speak to people in jail. Now, someone just came out of jail. He was arrested for some, I don't know, for DUI. I'm from a guy. Tell me, he was just a few hours there with a bunch of chalerias. Get in a bad mood if some of these people are in trouble right there and then.
Why would you be a charlatan somebody
donating the truth is that one of the reasons that Moshe mentioned, but he says even without that reason, the truth is that any operation could become dangerous. I know a young man, 32 years old, he was in a simple car accident, bashed his knee, you know. The doctor, you know, they had to fix like your kneecap, you know, you hear people, older people out, and they fixed, he didn't wake up from the anesthesia. Something went wrong. Simple thing like this. He was a healthy guy, just he was in a small car accident, so his knee hit the thing and had to just fix the knee. I mean, that's another reason, because, you know, any operation could be dangerous. Anything. Okay, let's move on.
You make a big
some opinions hold legal grammar on anything.
Any operation.
Anything which is general anesthesia.
Yes. Anything general anesthesia. Anytime you land in the hospital, you have to make a grammar. Because they don't take you into the hospital unless you're really sick. They kick you out even though you're really sick.
If you don't have a surgery, like you just said, you go to an emergency room, that's not necessary.
Well, it depends why you went.
Right.
If you went just because you were coughing, you know, but if you went with something serious, I mean. So then the Shulchan Aruch Rav says, I have to save the person's life. I have to hire people. Then I could collect the money from him. You see inside? He says, let's say to save the person's life, I have to hire, you know, let's say this guy was arrested and accused of murder, and I know it's not true. I want to save his life. But, you know, I hired people to do it, and I hired, and he has to pay me back. You can't just say to me, you know, you hired, thank you so nice, thank you for such a gentleman, I'm not going to pay you. He has to pay me back.
To what extent do you have to pay back the paper in her?
He has to pay back, yeah, of course he's got it. This is a chayim, yeah. He has to pay back, no question. Yeah, it's not wrong because a person, because the Torah obligated me to save the person's life, and the money that I spent to save him, he has to give me back. That's clear. Now, there's a very famous question, in the early Achronim, and the Shulchan Aruch brings it down. Reuven and Shimon were arrested by the government. This is quite common at times of the alilis means a libel. You know, the Jews were always we don't know how good we have it in America. Really, it's incredible. You know, once in a while you hear policemen. You know, that's once in a while. This was normal. You know, my father Roshim told me in Europe that if the policeman just was not in a good mood, had one much to drink, he would say you violate a law. Finished. There was nothing to argue. You know, the policeman's word was the last word, and that was it. Anyways, so the story was there were two people arrested, and one guy hired a good lawyer, and because of he was let go, the other person was let go. Now, they were accused of both crimes, and whatever reason that lawyer showed that this is not a crime or whatever, and he or showed that the person is a liar who but the whole who. So does Reuben, who hired the lawyer, saved Shimon's life too? Does Shimon have to pay for it or not? This is a whole Ramon Shulchan Aruch. You understand the question? So, you know, it depends. If you didn't tell him ahead of time, just hire a lawyer and happen to be working just for you and him, you don't have to pay. But if you do say in the beginning, but if you did tell him in the beginning, you should know, I'm hiring a lawyer, paying you right now, is going to save both of our lives, and I expect you to take the burden, then he has to pay him. It's based on the whole different sugya. This is a Ramon Shulchan Aruch based on the long sugya. So if you help yourself and help someone, it costed you money, let's say the lawyer, such a story, and you got yourself a lawyer, and this way you got off the hook together with him, you told him ahead of time, then he has to pay. The only question we have always in Dintoyer, I literally have such a Dintoyer. Right now, how much do you have to pay him? There was a guy who went to court Shloya Pedin. It cost him $80,000 the legal fees. Not bad, you know. When I hear I'm in the wrong profession, people are always saying, you know, it's just $80,000 the lawyer took from the guy. And he saw it's no tachlis, but the guy had no right. The guy sent him his money. The guy told him, now, do we have to make him pay the whole? Now, the other side also cost a lot of money. But, you know, he hired a very top lawyer. Who told you to hire such a top lawyer? Do you understand? You do have to pay the guy, but the question is, do you have to pay him the whole thing? I mean, who...
So the case that you just said, Reuven took Shimon to court on a frivolous lawsuit and cost Shimon $80,000.
It cost Reuven him $80,000. Shimon also cost the Kosiki. Now, if Shimon is demanding Reuven to pay, does he pay how much his lawyer cost it, or maybe he could have gotten a cheaper lawyer. I have a criminal lawyer in New York, and it comes to his father, Davina Mashul. He always used to tell me when the big cases was, the Spinker Rebbe case and other big cases, or they took the expensive lawyers. You know, you don't need to sue it. This expensive lawyers is just because they got a name. It's not that the case that is against you is clear evidence, and you know, and it's just you think that there's certain cases you do need. It's tough, but you know, one of these when they were laundering the money, all these, and it didn't make a difference. He said, he told me ahead of time exactly how much you're going to get, and exactly that's how much that I ever got, and exactly each one. You know, doesn't. So let's say such a story. A guy hires an expensive lawyer. Who would ask you to hire an expensive lawyer? You can't make him pay the whole money, really.
Fair market value.
Fair market, has to find out what an average lawyer, good lawyer, takes. Anyway, so this is the question over here. When a guy hired a lawyer to save himself, save his friend, so the only time he has to pay, he had to tell them ahead of time, I'm doing it for me, and I expect you to.
What was it, he said no?
He has to pay. Let me know. But I have to look it up in Shulchan Aruch. But certain times, he says no because he doesn't want to pay, but he wants to get out of jail.
I want to follow up on a similar question, which is, if Reuven and Shimon both each have their own lawyers, Shimon's lawyer is not that good, Reuven's lawyer is really good, and Reuven's lawyer gets them both off.
Well, he hired his own lawyer and realized that that's hard to make hard into paying.
He benefited from that?
No, not for sure not. The question is only if ahead of time, he's asking, I have to look it up, there's a whole simon of Shulchan Aruch, Chachish Mishpat about this, but even if there is cases where even though he says no, but if he says to me, listen, I don't mind being in jail for a few months. What is the judge going to give me? He's going to give me a few months of jail? I don't mind. You're right. I don't mind being a few months in jail. I know a guy told me that Rav told me that he had one of his fallen knew that he was going to get jailed. Didn't want to spend any with a lawyer. The judge told him, a lawyer told him ahead of time, they're not going to give you too much, just plead guilty. And plead guilty, he got a few months, didn't cost him $100,000, $200,000.
So it seemed like you would have paid for him to get out earlier,
wouldn't have paid that? Yep, it wouldn't. Because he said, I don't mind, I'm not willing to spend money, I'm rather sitting in the jail for a few months and spend $200,000 on a lawyer, whatever it is.
So, I mean, this conversation is not necessarily that practical today, because the criminal courts in America, we're going to give you a lawyer. They'll give you a lawyer, whether or not...
Yeah, but those lawyers are good.
They're way better. They really are. The fancier the suit, the more likely I am to win. They really are way better. But the question I have is that...
Who's going to pay for this?
The question I have is that if it is more practical, if the community, the guy has $100,000 bail, the community raises money to bail him out, does he have to pay that money back?
Well, don't you get the money back? 10% you lose, you mean?
Yeah.
He has to pay it back.
So $1 million bail, and they raise $100,000, and they bail all out. So he has to pay back.
Yes, he has to pay money.
He didn't ask for
it. Yeah. Well, you know, he didn't ask for it, then we assume they have to pay back, yes. Because, you know, it depends also which jail, you know. That is discussed. You know, sometimes people say it's cheap to say that way, but he wants to get out. You know, if a person is, it depends what type of a prison you are in.
Based on the assumption that the person would rather not be in prison.
Yes, yes. But you're right, if a person says clearly, honestly, he's not playing games, and says, I don't mind, I'm going to sit a few months, and it's not worth for me to lose all my house and everything just to for that. Okay. Then there's a question, you know, the Rav says, ches, if you look at the Rav, are trying to put up a trap him. He didn't tell them. So there's a famous question that everyone has, and I've been asked, this is the only Hilchas Lashon Hara people ask me. You know, this person who's getting engaged is not honest with the chassan and is ill. Do I have to say to them or not? Now I'm going to say an answer which most people don't like. You're not obligated to say if it's an illness that is not so terrible. Now if it's an illness he can be a husband. Let's say he's diabetic. He can be a husband. Or illnesses where there's no way he could even go get a job. He could work. You know, she didn't. That you're obligated to say because, you know, she's getting into a horrible situation. Or vice versa. She's a lady, but she can't have children. She's not honest. Someone told me that a lady got married after the war and never told her husband she cannot have children. Never. So after the war, the second marriage, because something happened during the war, and he really wanted to have a new family, but then, and she asked her brother when she was dying to please ask my husband Mechila in the Shiva, and she forgive me. Now, she didn't do the right thing, you know, he has a right to forgive her, but she didn't do the right thing, and if someone else knew about it, would have to tell the husband. You understand? But someone asked me just recently, someone is dating someone. And today you can look up in Google. He says, I found on Google that this person, when he was 19 years old, was arrested for theft. And he's on the record. Right now he's older and he's settled. And I said, you know, if you're going to say it's not the worst of the things, you know, you're allowed to say. But it's not something you're obligated to say. People change. You know, people are young and people do silly things when they're young and they change. But what happens if the person has an illness? You're obligated. Illness he cannot perform as a wife or a husband. You're obligated to say. Whatever, you know, whatever the illness is, there are people who suffer from depression and they function great. There are people who suffer from bipolar and other illnesses like that who cannot run a household, cannot get out of bed. And I mean, you know, tell you what, you know, the person would have known that his wife he's not functioning as a person, as a wife. Or as a man, can I go to work? Then you're obligated to say, because it's like Sama Damarachu. With this person, it's going to be a disaster. What I like, when I learned that in the frum world, the second you hear someone is sick, the shidduch stops. In the secular world, but I fell in love with him. A lady once told me she got engaged, and she wanted to get a get. And he was bipolar. So, did you know that he was? Of course, I knew bipolar. I, you know, dated him in college. I wasn't religious yet. He was such a sweet guy. I just fell in love with him. Yeah, but once they were married, and you know how you say when the dust settles, you say in English, whatever, and day-to-day life, he couldn't function. I mean, he wasn't a bad person. He just couldn't function. If he used to take his meds, I mean, you want to say something?
What's the source? Like,
yeah. Some of the damarachu includes don't stay idle to lose the person should lose money. Don't stay idle, the person should get hurt. I said 2 weeks ago when a guy tells me, Messiah Khalifituma once, he tells me that, you know, it's always good to get along with your neighbor because my neighbor had a leak over Sukkos, you know, because we weren't talking to each other, I didn't get in touch with him. The guy had a terrible loss. And I told him, you're alive in the Torah. You know, just because you're not talking to each other, he's a Jewish person. You have to tell the person there's a, you know, there's a leak, and you know you're not home. And okay.
I have a question on the previous halacha. If a community pays for someone's medical
problem,
that person has to pay the community back.
If he's poor now, and he does not, he doesn't. Let's say. That's a very important question, Hilchos Tzedakah. Let's say community supported him. And Vahi Ayoi hit the jackpot, one of these big bad jackpots. He doesn't have to pay back because he was a poor person then, not obligated to pay back at all. That's a Mishnah. I don't know legally in the government how it goes. If a guy takes food stamps, then he hits the jackpot if he has to pay back. But the Gemara says clearly, be paskin, you don't have to. You're poor at that moment, you don't have to pay back.
So is an individual helping, you have to pay back and the community?
No, it doesn't make a difference. If Reuven helps Shimon, knowing that Shimon has no money, and he helped Shimon, gave them food, helped them pay the rent, and a few weeks later, he hits the jackpot, he doesn't have to pay him back in Allah. It doesn't make a difference. Because at that moment, he was poor.
To what extent do you have an obligation to know the plot in the Shidduch scenario?
Well, only things the Chofetz Chaim says.
So what I mean is, to what extent, let's say I know some guys, whatever, they're dating somebody. I have a relationship with either one of them.
If you know who they're dating for, you don't have to. But if you know who they're dating.
I don't know either one of them.
Yeah, but you know who he's dating. Rivka. You know Rivka, you don't know personally, but you know Rivka lives in the community and can get in touch with her, and you know he's not telling her the truth, then you have to notify them.
So we're mandated reporters in life.
What do you say?
We're mandated reporters.
That's called the Nuria. You're mandated. But something, again, it has to be something. It's something that people have certain illnesses, and it's not the end of the world. You know what I mean? Many people have certain illness. They live wonderful.
So what if you make a mistake? I mean, you know, what's your obligation if you make a mistake? You think it's an illness that's more important than
oh, you made a mistake. It's also not terrible. It's not terrible that you tell the person. You understand? It's not the worst. It's not terrible if I tell the person, this person suffers from mild depression, even though he could be functioning as a husband and wife. Or this person suffers from, you know, he has other ailments. You know, he's allergic, then, I don't know, whatever. Nothing is wrong. Mm-hmm. Or this person has a child no one knows about. A woman go crazy for that, but you don't have to say. And if you did say, then nothing wrong. Because she's got to know. She's going to live with that. She's going to live with that. So you don't have to say, but you said nothing is wrong. Even more. Let me just tell you more. There's a tshuva masham where a girl messed around when she was young in his days. She was 16. She had a child. They gave her adoption. Now she became a full person. Does she have to tell the doctor date that, you know, I had a baby already once? Because most people, men, young men, want a fresh lady. They don't want to. No, you're not obligated, he says. You're not a lie, but you're not obligated.
Well, there's an inevitability that she was going to stay on the ksuba.
Yeah, he has a way to write do the ksuba. He has a whole trick. He has a whole trick how to do the ksuba, the masham. Yeah, Moshe says also, there's a way to make it that the ksuba wouldn't be a problem.
If a man says that, you know, if he accepts, if the Masada Gushin says, I'm writing for the Sula, even
yeah,
if he's
know.
Not, then...
Yeah, but the question is, she's not honest.
Right.
I was Masada the Kedushi once, and the girl bluntly, an hour before the wedding, texted me, I am not a Sula, but my husband has no idea my husband.
So you said to him?
I did Moshe's trick. I looked it up quickly. I have no
issue
with it. I forgot now. As a whole.
I'm writing for Basula regardless.
Regardless, something like that. Something like that. Tell him, listen, I don't know what's going on. She went to college, but you know, you know when the chuppah here. He's going to wait you to give you the Brooklyn Bridge. He's not going to say, wait a minute, what? It's off. At that moment, he'll give you everything.
Suppose he asked her directly for the wedding.
Yeah, she has to be honest with him. Just bluntly, she has to be honest with him. I have a case that I was involved that she lied. She didn't tell the chassan, and the chassan, you know, got married. She's a smart girl, but he's very simple. That didn't happen. Then everybody divorced. She had a major heart surgery. She refused to give the chassan, her new husband. They got married. He only noticed that they got married. He noticed that she had a decision, and he looked on the internet, and it says clearly, you know, today that she had a heart. She thought she didn't want to tell him, and she had a major heart surgery, and because she realized she was using birth control, and she was not honest with them. The bottom line is they got divorced. It was a terrible thing. I told the mother, you did a terrible, terrible thing. You know, if your daughter's not well, you don't want to tell us, you don't have to tell us. But the bottom line is, look what happened. You know, you got this guy, you know, he doesn't want to tell, you don't want to tell us if they could have children or not. You know, it was a terrible thing. And there are people who knew about it. It's very clear. There were people who, that's the situation. Yes?
You're talking about notifying about the disease. What about genetic diseases? Where someone may not actually know that they have it, but there could be a difficulty. But you're aware that the family have history.
I don't have to say. There are, you don't have to say. Unless the person asks you. No, there are certain genetic diseases that
Gosher, I think it's called, and $200,000 a year worth of medication. It's a huge issue. The child will probably have a normal life. Still, it's a huge issue.
Okay, now let's learn Ches. This is where we stopped you last week. He says, Afili Yisrael Balaveiros. You have to save even Yisrael who sins. Kamimim Lechel Neveiros Letiuvim. He eats Neveiros Letiuvim. Remember, I explained I had a neighbor, a Russian, became religious. Chickens, he could not, I'm not going to pay 5 times the amount. He bought the Ralph's chickens. I don't know. That's the tiyuvim. That's what tiyuvim means. So he says the tiyuvim. So he says mitzvah latziloi. You have to save his life. Busalama da dumoi. You're not allowed to stand by idle. We come again. Chayv loitzimumen alatzelusoi. The first opinion of the Shulchan Aruch Rav quotes the Rishonim that if a person is a mimer l'tiyuvim, that he does avayos because, you know, the tiyuvim, he has a, let's say, I don't have a good practice, most practical emotion. The guy is eating out kosher because it's cheaper. Or,
more available.
He drives the shulchan
aruch. That we're going to have, that we have later, the rav is the sources, stidus in the shulchan aruch rav, from Hilchos Ribbis to over here. Well, let's leave it to later. But not Shabbos. They're talking guys at tiyuvim, for the Vedas, or you know that he has a mistress because he has a Yetzara, and if you hold having a mistress is a lav, not everyone be a lav, some also the Rabbanim. So guy is a little of him, he says you have to save his life. He says kiven she mimel aduver echom in atoira, but you don't have to. It means you don't have to save his life, but I'm not obligated to spend money to save his life. For instance, the story, the guy says, my neighbor had a leak. He was obligated to hire a plumber, break the door down, close the water, and then collect the money from him. There was nothing wrong. He was good. He should have done that. But if the guy is a mumer, letiyuvim, I'm not obligated to spend money for this guy. Maybe he won't give it to me back. I'll have a whole hassle. I'm not bechuyif to do that.
Why is it also mentioned that the mitzvah of Avos Yisroel? After
that, the
Kachum includes also saving a guy's mom. So
that's not true. After Kachum doesn't that, we need a special answer for that. After me, I should like him. Who says I have to have to save him? Yeah, that could be the chinuch. But and after Achim means you should don't do after Achim means don't do to the others what you don't want to be done to yourself. Listen, you have a friend who's extremely wealthy. He won the, whatever it's called, $600 million lottery, right? You like me as yourself, you should hand over some of them. Is he obligated? No. Not obligated at all to give you one penny, one dime. One second. But the only thing, don't do to your friend, don't do to, but you don't want to be done to yourself. That's after Achim Kamoichon.
Right.
It doesn't say after return of Aveda. I shouldn't do something. Don't insult him. Don't take advantage of him. But who says I see Zaveda? Am I obligated to schlep it around and find it? As a rabbi in the shul, I notice things. I always know. I just found a sefer, and I look for the guy who left behind such a sefer. I was happy I found him today. Well, but who says I'm obligated? Yes, not after Kamoichu. She was Zaveda. So there's the 30 says you have to save a person's life. Cannot, but the 30 says not only you cannot sit idle. Yeah, you know, people, I've heard this from people, I'm not sure where this concept comes. Many people think that the Torah says you should not be aggressive, you should be pacifist, you think? You sit idle. The Torah says you gotta get up and break the door down and, you know, do what you need to do. But if it's lit the oven, I don't have to spend money, I should do it myself. That's a big chiddush that Rav brings down. If a person is a mimer l'tiyuvim,
like the
trade. Only trade, but he keeps Shabbos and everything. I told you, I have a guy, the wife told me, complained to me, that in the business meetings, he has business meetings, he goes to trade for restaurants.
Going into
trade? No, he eats. No, he eats. She was so upset, she wanted to get divorced. I said, calm down. And he wasn't going to change. For business at home, I don't care how much it was.
Trafe.
That's heavy. That's really heavy. begin. It starts, you know, it started with the vegetables. His wife told me it started with the vegetables and then with the fish, and then slowly.
So you say there's no obligation to save somebody.
So you're obligated to save his life, but if I have to spend money to save his life, let's say, you know, I could do CPR.
Oh.
I have to save his life. And let's say he's my neighbor, and there's the water leak. I should run into the house and close the leak. But let's say after he's not in town, I have to find a plumber, hire a plumber, break down the door, and pay, you know, pay guys who want to do it. Cost me $500. I'm not obligated for such a person to spend my money to save his house, to save his life.
Just on a certain
upper. I have to do terche. Terche means my physical. I say terche in English. My physical.
Effort,
but I'm obligated to spend money.
Okay.
This is a pasuk, and it's only one opinion. The Rav says others that Rishonim disagree. It's a big machlekes that Rishonim and Sechtes of the Zohar. He says, "Why Ben Chayav Lachiyush the Rapan?" He says, "Shkim Shimon Adubrech Em Chal Dam." He's not called Damer Achu. He's not called your friend. So he says, "Samoy Al Dam Reyachu." Who is called your friend? Now the Torah doesn't mean a friend who you hang out with. You enjoy hanging out and drinking alachaim. Racha means, the Torah means, someone who's with you in the same observance. He keeps kosher, he keeps the main things that all from people keep. You don't have to give him tzedakah. You know, in our neighborhood, there are big balot tzedakah. So, one of the big balot tzedakah refuses to give someone, doesn't keep Shabbos. So two people came to me already. Write me a letter of Shomer Shabbos. How do I know you're Shomer Shabbos? I mean, how? Both a little bit disturbed, you know. Now, one is a Tinik Shanish, but there's no question about it. The guy refuses to give tzedakah only for Shomer Shabbos. Doesn't care. You know, I said, I'm not going to write you a letter. He says, Api Torah, he's a Tinik Shanishba, he should give tzedakah. I mean, is that, you know, he does not obligated to give him. He can give him a quarter and a dollar. He doesn't want a quarter and a dollar. He didn't come to knock on the door. That goes around the shoes for the quarters and the dollar. But Peter, I mean, really, he's a Tinik Shanishba. He's just as any other Jew. That's a doctor. But we're talking about a guy he's from. And he's, let's say the story, the guy eats non-kosher food in restaurants. He has a business meeting, he goes, such a person. He says, he works below Yitzhu's moment without spending one. You have to effort to save his body, to save his money. Let me explain about the drash. It says, means you should give back to him as is. You know, there's a din of Shuvas Aveda. I don't have to spend money to give back your Aveda. You know that. Let's say it costs me money. You know, a guy says to you, "Yo, you found my safer? Mail it to me." I had once a guy tell me, "Mail it to me." Yeah, you send me a check in the mail, and I get the money. I'll mail it for you. I like the idea. Just mail it to me. I had his telephone number left in the shul. I thought he was in the neighborhood. No, he was living in New York already. I mean, he was here. He was a mashulach or something. I don't know why. So it was just, yeah, you're not obligated. If you pay me for it, I'll gladly mail it to you. So just like money, there's no chiyuv to save his body of a guy who's a mimilitri oven, is in that category. You have to be matriach, your effort, but you don't have to spend money on him. That's based on the Gemara, he says. Give him back as is. So this is, he brings down a long drash. He says, all right, then he says, v'yesh omrim. It's a long drash, and I know it's very complicated, but this is the first opinion in Shulchan Aruch, and Shulchan Aruch this opinion brought. Second opinion, no, if it's a mimilit oven, you have to, what's his name? You have to spend money to save his life. You know, he's only liti oven. Now, liti oven, the boy side means that he's muhzik. He does it often. Let's say a guy had a week time, a week day, and he I had once a guy call me up right before Yom Kippur. He went on a business trip and he left his food behind. He got such an angry mood. He ate the non-kosher food, and after he ate it, he put his finger into his mouth and boom. What in the world did I do? He was just felt horrible what he did. You know, but we sometimes do silly things when we get angry. That's what Chassidim always held. Do not get angry. Don't be depressed. Anger and depression drives people up the wrong wall. That's not called the Tiofim, Chaim says. Okay, he does it commonly. Let's say this guy in a business meeting, I don't care. They serve me non-kosher food. So that's what we're talking about. Yesh Amrem, he says, Shemim and the Tiofim, you do have to save his life. Michal Chirachu is called the life. Moshe Dorchechum and Chol Avedu Sochichu, Rabbis Hamim L'Tiyuvim. Yes, Shnema Chalchich. You have to spend money. Chayv Lo Yitzimumen to save his life. And a Yerushmaim, the Rav says, should be Machmer. Now, the same question comes up. You know, the Chorim have a famous question, which doesn't bring down the Rav. What happens if a guy is a professional thief? Are we the community obligated to take him out of prison?
Like
Madoff? Yeah, like Madoff. Yeah, we're talking about even petty thieves, not the big or big time thieves. So you only have an obligation if he could get murdered in prison.
Like Madoff?
Could he get murdered?
Yeah, he could.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He's in one of these prisons where the Schwarzers could get to him, yeah?
Sure.
I have no idea.
Many people want to. He's in national security.
Yeah, so such people, if it's dangerous, then it's a mitzvah to save him. Even though it sounds, people don't like to hear that, but it's a mitzvah to finish me. Only because if it's dangerous. I was told, I don't know, I was told like this, people who were in jail, state prison is dangerous.
What's the statistic? Means they, I would
how many people get killed over there?
There are not that many statistics.
Did more people get killed on the road?
Yeah, you're probably more likely to get killed by a DUI driver than you are in state prison. That doesn't mean that.
So then it's not dangerous, because everything could be dangerous. I mean, driving on the road is also dangerous. I have this question, you know.
Very likely, but not all the prisons are gang controlled. Even the federal prisons are gang controlled, and they have a lot of gangs. And you have to treat people. You could get danger in prison or jail. Anyone, but on the same side, any one of them could be not dangerous.
So you know, I don't know. I was told, but this guy told me he was in federal prison, state prison for fraud. He said he was in a terrible prison up north someplace, and he was known to be a dangerous person. And the only reason he survived is a big guy took him under his wings, because you were a religious Jew and he liked to, took a liking to a guy. You know, and he said they wanted to rape him. He said more than once.
Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Saying that, if we include that, then
that's not murder. It's just it's very high, then that's very dangerous, and that's a pagam. It's a very embarrassing, very, very bad. So the place can say to save a person from prison is only because it's dangerous. Let's say he's going to get prison. That's not dangerous. It's hard to figure this out right now at the moment. But the general rule is, there's a mitzvah pidyon shviyim only if a person is going to be in a danger. If a person is not in danger, let's say he's going to get federal crime, let's say the camps in Otisville, where I just spoke to someone came out of jail from there. It's such a it's just you're bored and do nothing, but now there he tells me there was no Hasidic Jews or four Hasidic Jews, about 20 Litvish, mostly modern Orthodox people now, he told me.
But so to what extent does that apply? If the guy commits a crime that he would get locked up in state prison for a very long time, whatever it is. So even a murder, you know, if someone commits murder, did not, whatever it was. It was in a fit of anger, whatever the reason that they did it.
Murder is no different, but I'll explain next week. I'm going to show this. Murder is a totally different topic. A murderer deserves to die. We don't let him die, let him sit in prison. Murder, the Rambam says, is a whole different. Child molestation is a roidif. That's even worse. A child molestation is worse. A murderer doesn't mean he's going to murder again. He was a fit of anger and he murdered someone. He's not a serial killer. Most murders are not serial killers. He was furious, or they cheated on him, and anger. Maybe it was premeditated, but they're not serial killers. They did once, and so a murderer, you know, that's why, you know, that's a whole different question. You compare it to a molester. A molester is a roidev.
So there's a case in New York right now. I guess for $100 million, and he's going to get sentenced. The judge just sentencing tomorrow. They just figured out he's going to get about 25 years. Is there not allowed to go to court to lie for him, say he's really that guy? You're saving him.
Do you think the judge? I want to ask you. Do you think the judge is going to like say, "He's a nice guy"?
No, on the face of it. He's on the face of it. I'm saying that the guy's facing 25 years. He's a financial crime. Do I have an obligation to help him? He's going to go to a bad prison. 25 years going to a high maximum security prison is a bad prison.
You could cause a feel of shame by lying.
He's not saying, he's not talking about Kozak. Let's say the truth. He's going to say some of these people are like Robin Hoods. They feel like they steal from others and be nice. And
everyone who steals $100 million is a lot of seductive. So, can you go and say he's such a kind man? He's a doctor.
Let's be practical. The question is, do we have a mitzvah to save him, to take him out of prison? Yes. If he's in the prison that's dangerous, we have a mitzvah. Forget all the thing. If he's going to go 25 years into prison, and it's dangerous, the prison, then we are obligated to save him, not to go to prison. My question is always a different question. The way you put it down, yes. My question is, many of these people are addictive. What is the name for this? You always taught me in English. They come out, they do it again. These people steal $100 million but don't stop when they come out. You know, usually, as a rule, I found. They are serial robbers. I don't know why, but it was fine. We hear these big numbers. They come out. It's the small, petty guys. They learn maybe a lesson. But most of these. But if it wouldn't be for that, yes, he's in danger. It's a mitzvah pinyan shvi'im. Right, this is a very good marshal. He's supposed to get 25 years. You say, once you put a guy 25 years, they really lock you up in a real, whatever it's called, then it's dangerous. Yes. See, I don't know. I'm assuming what people tell me, that 25 years prison camps is dangerous.
No, camp.
I'm not a camp, the prison. Yeah, and it's dangerous.
The maximum security federal prison, which is less dangerous than a maximum security state. Maximum security state prison is full of rapists and murderers. Maximum security federal is, different, but still.
It's dangerous then?
I'm saying, assuming it is.
Then, yes, then it's a way to help them. If it's not dangerous there, let them sit.
And regardless of the rules of being in the Mahusa.
Yeah, I mean, we're doing good. The Dean and the Mechusa, we're trying to save him.
We have a system that says you commit these crimes.
Yeah, so, but because the system has, if you get a good lawyer and could dray a cop, and
This seems to run sort of a contrary distinction to who was this, Thomas the Yai or something?
Yeah, the question is. That's true. That's true. We have to put him into. See, we have to make a stop to it. Yeah, let me explain what he's asking. Let me explain what he's asking. I explained the long tshuva Sarajba, that we have to have legal ways to stop molesters and thieves. See, the government in Rome, we have to have. Let's start this same case, whatever this guy's name is, who embezzled 25 million. What he says? 25 million? 100 million. Let's say this guy. Was I allowed to report him to the police? If I have to save him, was I allowed to tell the police, let's say I'm a rabbi, people call me up, he just embezzled me, can I go and report him to the district attorney? I would say, yes. Wait a minute. I mean, yes. You're putting him into prison. And you just told me, we have to have a system to stop these people. Otherwise, they're going to take advantage of us. That means like this. I will only bezel from people, and you are not allowed to put me into prison. I literally had a guy do this. I had a guy, a very funny story. I don't remember the details of the story, but it was something illegal in the nursing home. He took a guy who just became from, very naive, extreme naive, put him into the office, and the FBI came to him. You know, they knew that it was something wrong, and he knew that the FBI was going to come to him, and he told me, you know, you're not allowed to master me. And it was very clear that he put him up there, that if they come, he told them, you're not allowed to give me up the money. But people are going to steal and rob and rape. The Jewish community will be full of crime. So there has to be a system to stop it. Now, this guy was arrested. He's going to sit in prison. He was probably, he never was out on bail. Was he out on bail, this $100 million? I don't know.
Yeah, I think he was, but I don't know, like right now, it's like today they had a hearing and basically came down that the number is going to be 25 to 27 years. I was wondering myself.
Someone told me once that if there's such a high thing, they don't let you go on bail. They sometimes do. So such a person, we need a system. We need a system. If we from people cannot give up a thief, a thug, someone who beats people, rapes, molesters, we are in danger. We are, so the guy, whatever his name is, who embezzled $100 million, if he would have come to me, one of the people in Basel, go to the police, go to the district attorney, have him arrested. He'll never stop. If just opposite, if I don't go, I'm going to allow the Shama Damarach, because he's going to keep on doing it. He didn't rip off $100 million one person. He was probably ripped off a bunch of from people.
But other members of the community have an obligation to reclaim.
Now that he's there and he's going to get jail, let's try to help him.
And if you know it would be futile.
Only, then you shouldn't help him. That's ridiculous. That's
you know
a
the evidence is there.
Yeah, then I told people. This question I've been asked already. I can tell you publicly. I remember a case where I spoke to his own lawyer. His own lawyer told me that, you know, the evidence is so clear. There's no... So what are you doing there? Just, you know, he needs a lawyer. certain cases, there's nothing. The guy darshins away and gets his money and he didn't accomplish nothing.
We're trying to wrap our minds around it. In a scenario, I'm a prosecutor prosecuting a Jew who some other Jew reported on. That's fine. He can report him. I can prosecute, and the community has to raise money to help defend him.
If he's going to be in danger, right? Yes? Otherwise, if we imagine, to make it reverse, you cannot prosecute, no one could master him, then it would be a disaster.
Right.
A disaster. When people ask me, why did I say you're allowed to put a molester? I said, it's going to be a disaster. Why would anyone not want to molest?
Somebody does the same thing. The city would spend money on prosecuting and spend money on giving personal
work. That's right. He's right. See, the government does the same thing. They pay you, and you used to have someone came. Same paycheck.
Exactly.
Yeah, so you see, it's mamish the same thing. Because the truth is, when the people get arrested, even they're out on bail, I see they're shaking to the core. I see that they're shaken to the core. Once they're arrested, and even though they didn't indict him yet, for months and months, I see they're walking around like zombies, like, you know. A guy told me, a Rav told me, that he had one of his Balaam knew that he was going to arrest him. So he always left home 3 in the morning. Because he knew that the FBI always liked to raid in the morning, make a 7 o'clock in the morning, and make a big... So he never was home. For 4 years, he was a big masmed. And they came in the morning, and he wasn't home. And his children said he went to his shul. They didn't know which shul he went. So they waited till he came back, and he always came back like late. 10, 11. But he told me this man was sick. He knew he was going to be arrested, and the FBI was just taking the time, and he was sick to his bones. But, you know, that's why, I don't know what he did. I didn't remember the crime. But let's say this guy, probably what you're talking about, is embezzled from people, right? Where was this again? Yeah. So, you know, I imagine that he embezzled from people, and the only way to stop him is to have him arrested. Let's a very good question.
You know what happened in that case, by the way, very interesting. Because one of the big complaints for it, instead of I wanted to get the maximum time. He took my life savings, and immediately after that, the guy's wife got very, very sick, and he couldn't pay the insurance because he stole $1 million from this guy. But a rep in the community went and testified in his defense that he's a wonderful person. And so the news reports are coming back very conflicted on that. And say,
I was told by a lawyer, a criminal lawyer, that the judge knows that this is when people come to say it's your experience, you know, when people come to the judge laughs at this, but the judge laughs at it, right? He knows it's full of baloney. Guy, the evidence is there. He embezzled. Yeah, people think an embezzlement has to have horns on his head, you know, and he has to be this mean guy coming in shoe and throwing things at people. Yeah, he could be a nice sweet guy and you socialize and you have a l'chaim with him. But he just embezzles. I mean, I know a guy in my community many, many years ago who was a sweet guy. Got along with everyone. Not even just a few years ago. He ran. He's on the run. He embezzled a bunch of people. He was the nicest, sweet guy. He used to help his shoe, clean the tables, put the camera, but he embezzled people.
So again, to what extent? You say, I once watched a trial where a guy committed a violent crime and people came and testified that he was a good person.
No, it's okay.
And the prosecutor destroyed them. I think it was very. For me, I sat in the back. I thought it was a big.
The violent crime was what? You killed someone? Raped someone?
He hurt someone very badly.
You hit someone. Yeah. But what does that mean? I was very young.
He was convicted of attempted murder.
Well, I was very young, and there was a guy in my shul who shoplifted, and he was arrested. So he wanted me to come to the prison in Beverly Hills, after all. He had no better place to shoplift than ShopRite, Ralph's in Beverly Hills. Bread and a piece of salami. And so the judge asked the questions that the prosecutor didn't know what to ask. The judge was a yid. He says, you know, it was not kosher. Yeah, I know it was kosher. But you know, your shul is a kosher shul, right? So how do you know that he's a nice guy? Yes. He says, Your Honor, all I know is he comes to davening to pray almost every day. He's nice to people. What goes on outside, I have no idea. That's it. That's what I said. I said, oh, I don't know. He comes to shul. He's nice. Gets along. Friendly with people. He didn't need to shoplift, but it's one of these crazy things, like, you know. But coming back, and this is a very good question what you asked. This is important. If we cannot report this guy, then everyone is going to be forgery. I know a guy told me that he asked me this question. A guy gave him a forged document of I forgot what it's called, and he got $50,000 out of him. And he confronted him. He says, "What you do? I'll pay you." You know, I said, no, I'm going to district. How could you go to district attorney? I'm a firm yid. So it was very clear the guy did this using that your firm, you're not going to go to the district attorney. And how are you going to pay me? He doesn't have no money to pay. He obviously took from one to another. He said, I'm going to the district attorney. So the family quickly raised money. Didn't want his brother. So he told me they didn't raise money because they cared about him. They cared about their own shidduchim. They didn't want the brother to be in jail. But you see how he used, you understand, he used the thing. You can't put me into jail, so I'm not. Next time I'll go embezzle another for me. You know that
what
has to.
That decision on grade, though, and that's another part of abuse. Not grade, but on recidivist or likely to continue.
I don't know. And that you have to next.
You ask from you who's friendly with the guy. They're all going to say no. It was one time. You know.
That the people are very naive. Very naive.
Can you give the kids here on what it means to muster somebody when you're allowed to leave?
We're allowed to master someone who is a molester. You're allowed to shoot the guy, so we don't shoot him, we just arrest him. You're allowed to, you know, a molester, but a molester, a guy who just gives, you know, I don't want to do this on tape,
but
the guy.
How much do you have to know for sure? Like, how do you know?
Oh, that's the difficult question.
You know, like I said before, there's lots of.
Yes, but, you know, sometimes, that's why, that's the tumult, you know, that's the tumult in New York. But let me tell you, the guy who was molested knows he was molested. There was this famous Coco case. So people told me that when word got out, when he came to a wedding, a guy went over him and says, "Do you remember me?" He says, "No." And he took, he took his fist and just knocked him out cold at the wedding. And people were screaming, "He molested me when I was a 12-year-old boy." This guy was now 23 years old. He knows it happened to him. He should go to the police and lock him up.
Yeah.
That's for sure. That's the famous question that the Rabbanim have in New York. How do you know? We Taka don't know. We need... That means nothing. You know, the Nazis, what they did in the beginning of the war, they said rumors that when they went into Poland and Lithuania, they said everyone's going to Palestine. That's where the Jews came out of the woodwork. But with the rumors, you could kill people. There's no question about it. And you have, in the Torah, there's another. Lady screamed, "Rapist! I even have a shirt!" You know who that was? Eshes Potiphar. She was screaming on top of her lungs. "Rapist!" And it is opposite. Isn't that amazing? She tried to rape him. She was going to rape
him. People who lie straight to your face without a problem.
Oh, for sure. I've seen that.
I've seen it.
I had a guy in Besden lie with such a straight face. But I'm blessed with a good memory. I said, "Last time you said it differently." And just the whole story unleveled. "Oh, I'm sorry I lied." Next, like nothing happened. Nothing happened.
It's not, I mean, in the case of molestation, it's not very complex. The gay guitar, or a person who has the obligation legally to report, who knows, who, you know, teacher in his class, is a child in a certain way, then...
Yeah, but the question is that I found that you could report, and they do a good job. The social whatever service thing. They came to the Teresemis, and there was a guy who was getting divorced, and he said that his in-laws molested children. Turned out not to be true. And you know, they do it. They don't do a sloppy job. You know.
We also don't do a sloppy job.
Okay.
We also investigate cases. Right.
But there is always mistakes, and that's part of life. There's no way. There is no way. There is no, how's it called? No foolproof. How do you say in English? Foolproof system.
You mentioned divorce. I mean, there's a very common thing that happens where an accusation gets made in the middle of divorce, and that's not the same as a school. A school is, you know.
Yeah, I'm saying usually, I tell you what. Usually, children do not make up stories. That's a rule. So if one child could be the mother convinced her, but you have two or three children saying, you know, it's for sure true. You could go to the police.
Do you use the last one you said about the mother? The mother convinced
her? Yeah, there was a story and many, many years ago that the mother convinced the child to say he molested me. And you know who found the truth? It wasn't even his lawyer. The prosecutor was stunned that no one else is coming forward. Research and found that they lived in Washington. In Washington, she did the same thing to the mother, and he got in contact with the police, and it turned out the mother convinced the child to say that.
It was not true.
It was not true. But that's, you know, and the reason why the prosecutor and detective didn't, because no one else was coming forward. Usually these people never do it. But most of these molesters, I hate to say his name, it's terrible. Many people say it's not one, no, it's not just, there are many people come forward who are saying it's true. I mean, most of the molesters are that way.
We view the incidences of divorce very critically.
Yeah, a guy told me that the judge said to the guy, a lawyer once told me, the judge said, "I understand, 90% of the people when they come to divorce say molested, he doesn't believe him." It turns out to be not true. All of a sudden, they were married for 17 years, and then all of a sudden they got into a fight, now he became a little molester. Yeah. Okay. Stop over there.